to go ahead and I did all the announcements, Shifra, and we did our Tehillim. So without further ado, I am just going to turn the program over to Shifra. I can oh, she had to update Zoom. I had to do that this morning, so I hear it. So I can share the screen when you want to show sources, or you can whatever is easier for you. Just let me know. So in the meantime, I'm going to go and spotlight you, and we will get started.
Okay, so Andrea, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to be in charge of the sources. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay, great. Okay, so welcome everybody. The theme of Masorah Baltimore's Rosh Chodesh program this year, as you know from the advertisement, is rather than using each Rosh Chodesh to spotlight the theme or energy of that particular month, we're going to use Rosh Chodesh to spotlight Rosh Chodesh. And what I'd like to do tonight, being that this is the first in the series, is I'd like to actually just keep it simple. I'd like to spend our time exploring one particular aspect of Rosh Chodesh that is really embedded in the name Rosh Chodesh, which we'll talk about, and one that I think is really evidence from the very introduction to Rosh Chodesh. We are told in last week's Parshas Bereishis, Rashi tells us, first Rashi in Bereishis, a rather famous Rashi, that the very first mitzvah ever given to Klal Yisrael is this mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. It is not the first mitzvah that is listed in the Torah, but it is the first mitzvah that is given to Klal Yisrael as a nation, just before they left Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael were still in Mitzrayim, estimated time of departure approximately 2 weeks forward. And the Torah tells us in source number one, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aharon ve'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Hashem said to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Mitzrayim, saying, Hachodesh hazeh lachem. This month is technically, it means lachem for you. I know the English translation that I brought for you says marks for you. That's a loose translation. Literally, Hachodesh Hazeh lachem means this month is for you. Rosh Chadashim, it is the head of all months. The month of Nisan will be the first. Rishon hu lachem l'chadshei hashana. It will be first for you of the months of the year. And the Nesiv HaShalom tells us in source number two, that embedded in the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which is the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose as the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael, is source number two. I'm reading from after the first Kamma, Sheyehudi mitzvah lehitchadesh tamid kebirya chadasha. A Jew is commanded to renew himself constantly as a birya chadasha, as a new being. Embedded in the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is the instruction to renew, rejuvenate oneself. And if you skip down to the end of the next line where it says, Hamitzvah harishona shenitztavu Yisrael, the very first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael were commanded, Hareinu hadavar harishon shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu leYisrael. Let's even make this more dramatic. The very first statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Klal Yisrael as a whole is Rosh lechol tzarich Yehudi tamid lehichadesh. First and foremost, a Jew needs to regularly lehichadesh, be renewing himself. Critical for a Jew is that he is constantly rejuvenating. And this message of rejuvenation, of renewal, of re-energizing is so fundamental, so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to embed this message in the very first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. You must find ways of keeping yourself fresh. I think the truth of the matter is we know this intuitively. We crave this. It's the reason why we look at a closet full of clothing and say, I have nothing to wear. It's the reason why we every so often we've been making the same Shabbos chicken for the last 12 years, and we start asking, anyone have a new recipe for chicken? There's something about newness that we crave. We get excited, we get psyched about a new piece of news, a new simcha that we heard. 4 days later, it's going to be old news. But right now, it's fresh, it's new, it's exciting. And it's the same reason why we get excited about a new idea about Yom Tov, why Masorah Baltimore is so helpful to us. Because it gives us new energy, new learning, new ideas, something to hear about the Parsha. It's why I personally find myself preparing new shiurim on topics I've spoken about 12 times. Am I crazy? Maybe. But also, I crave newness like we all do. There's something about His chadshus that we understand intuitively to be important to us. We crave that feeling of new. And I believe we crave that feeling of new because we know about ourselves that we do better when we keep ourselves fresh. And we know why. Because it energizes us, because it's something to get excited about. I look forward to getting dressed tomorrow morning because I have a new sweater to put on. And I'm excited to serve a new recipe. But in the realm of Ruchnius, it's more than that. In the realm of spirituality, it's critical. That feeling of new, that feeling of what gets us excited. Yes, it gets us excited, but it also allows us to see things from a fresh perspective. It's the famous comment of Rashi on the word Hayom multiple times in Chumash. See yourselves as receiving Torah today. See yourselves as being commanded this today, because there's something about that freshness, feeling like it's new. What does it mean, feeling like it's new? It means feel the passion, the energy, the excitement. But it also sometimes helps us to notice things that we wouldn't otherwise have noticed about ourselves. Because sometimes it's that very fresh perspective that allows us to see something in ourselves or to notice something in our behavior that we would have missed otherwise. I'll give you an example from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz in the Sichos Musar. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings us back to the scene where the Shvatim are trying to bury Yaakov Avinu. The Shvatim have brought the mace, they have brought their deceased father all the way from Mitzrayim, and they are standing at the entrance of Maris HaMachpelah, where they are met by Esav. And Chazal tell us that Esav starts arguing with them. What are you burying Yaakov Avinu for? Who says that Yaakov Avinu gets to be buried here? I think the burial plot belongs to me. And they start back and forth, question, answer, argument, rebuttal. The Medrash says that they sent Naftali to go running back to Mitzrayim to get the deed to prove that this plot belonged to Yaakov Avinu. But meanwhile, the mace is lying there. One person. Chushim ben Dan walks in, doesn't totally understand what's happening because Chazal tell us he's deaf, but he understands that the mace, the Yaakov Avinu, was lying there, and he cuts off Esav's head, and that is one of the roots of the source that says that Esav's head is rolled into Maris HaMachpelah. Asks Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz in the Sichos Musar in source number 4. V'lechora tamua. It's a little curious. Why was no one else bothered by the question that bothered Chushim ben Dan? Why was no one else frustrated by what he was frustrated by and jumped down one line in a couple of words where it says, Ve'ech yachlu b'nei Yaakov. Trying to find it in here. Second line, thank you for the cursor. Ve'ech yachlu b'nei Yaakov shivteka lisbol matzav kazeh. How is it even possible that the sons of Yaakov could tolerate such a thing as happening? How could they be standing there letting Yaakov Avinu lie unburied while Esav is arguing with them? They're treating like this is a normal conversation? Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the next line, Elahein hein hasfarim. You want to understand that this is what was going on. Hein dibru vinit vachachu in Esav. They spoke with Esav. They're debating with Esav. Vahayu savurim bechol divur v'divur sha'amrulo, and they're thinking about everything that he says. Hinei anu menatzchino, so we're going to beat him this time. We have a good argument back for that. Umi dibur ledibur, umi she'ela letshuva, and from statement, and question to answer. Hari Yaakov mutal b'bizayon. Yaakov Avinu is lying disgraced in front of them. Umitoch kach horgalu lamatzav. They almost got used to it. They're engaging in this conversation like this is normal. V'tivo shel adam shehu mitragel lamatzav hagaruah biyotir. And that is unfortunately sometimes human nature, that we get used to things, that things become regular, things that are not regular become regular. Lo kein chushim ben dan. Not so with chushim ben dan. Kaveh Hashmiya, who's hard of hearing, Shaloyada klal alavikuach shemitnehel b'neiam. He didn't know what was going on, and he didn't understand the conversation. Le'enav nitgale pit'om hamatzav hakasha. All he saw in front of him was this difficult situation. Avi Abba mutal b'bizayon. My grandfather is lying disgraced. Hu shalom nitragel matzav. He did not get used to the situation. He did not get accustomed to this being normal. Lo haya yachol lesovlo. He couldn't handle it. He said enough. He cut off Esav's head and finished. And doesn't that happen to all of us sometimes? Lamashal, you could think back. I can't see everyone who's on here, and I'm sure we have represented quite a number of ages. But if you can imagine that 4-year-old. A 4-year-old, sometimes you ever see this happen? Like a 4-year-old is like actually engaging a parent in a conversation, like as if this is normal. But I want to stay up longer. But you already stayed up past your bedtime. But could I have a drink? But I already gave you a drink. Okay, let me get you a drink. Now could I have a snack? Like, this is not normal. It's bedtime, go to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're engaging this conversation on and on. We could spend 20 minutes engaging this conversation. Like, this is a normal conversation. This is not a normal conversation. But sometimes we don't realize because we're just in it. Now, I'm not suggesting that one should never have that conversation with a child. I'm just using it as a muscle. I'll give you an example that I think we can all relate to. We're like discussing anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism, and we're talking about it, and we're holding conferences about it, and we're having seminars about it, and we want to go to Congress and talk to them about it, and we're explaining to the UN how it's not nice. Now, again, I'm not saying that there should not be that kind of effort. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that one that it's never the proper hishtadlus to do that. I'm just saying. It's not normal. Like, it's not normal. We're gonna explain it to them, and then they're gonna be okay. And then they're gonna say, "You're right. Do whatever you want in Gaza. I hear you." We're gonna explain it to them, and then they're gonna back off and leave us alone, because we explained to them how they weren't nice to us first. They don't care. We're arguing with Esav, so it's Yishmael, but it's the same idea. We're having a debate and we're explaining. And I'll say my argument, and you say your argument. This is not a normal conversation. We've become so used to this that we think the conversation is normal. And we're like that with ourselves sometimes. Because don't we all have it sometimes that we do something a certain way, lamashal? We do something a certain way. And we do it that way because that's the way we've always done it, until somebody walks in one day and says, "Why are you doing it like that?" And you're like, "I don't know. That's the way I always did it." We have that in school sometimes in the way that we run things. We have that in programs sometimes in the way that we run things. We have that in office management sometimes in the way that we run things. We have it sometimes. I remember one time I always clean my chicken a certain way. One time my sister-in-law came in and she said, "Why don't you use chicken shears? It goes so much faster." And I was like, "I don't know. I always did it like this. I started using chicken shears." Taco, she's right. It took half the time. It's such a silly example, but we all have examples like this in our lives, and sometimes we do it with our Avodas Hashem also. Why do I do that? I don't know, because that's the way I kind of always did it. Maybe there's something I could do that would make it more meaningful. I'll give another example. And again, I hate giving this example because it's so unbelievably overused, but it's probably overused because it's just such a relevant example in our lives today. You know, something as simple as technology use. I just get used to checking my phone and my email every time I sit down and I have 2 minutes. Why do I do that? I don't know, because that's just what I do. And that's what every single person around me is also doing. They have 5 minutes, they're in a waiting room, they open their phone. That's what everybody does. What do you mean? I'm in my car and I'm waiting on a carpool line, or I'm waiting in the parking lot for somebody, or I don't know. And what do I do? I check back. That's what we do. We check our phone, we check our email every time I sit down. Until either someone says something to us, like, you know, you're always checking your phone, which usually makes us say, no, I'm not. Or we have a moment where we realize on our own, I don't know, do I open up my Tehillim as often as I check my email? I'm not talking about work even. I'm just saying in general. Hischadshus. The importance of Hischadshus is that it takes us out of our routine and forces us to reflect on our own routines and behaviors. To pause and say, is this really how I want to be living? Is this really what I want to be doing? To think. Hischadshus is important because it energizes and it gives us passion. But it's also important because it helps us to see things that we almost missed. Rosh Chodesh is a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu inserted into our calendar year every month to make sure that we tap into the koach of Hischadshus, to make sure that we tap into the power of renewal, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands he who made us knows us best. And he knows that human nature is to become so accustomed to routine that we don't even notice what we're doing and why anymore. Take a look at the Pa'amim Oed in source number 5. When you think about it, it teaches Kisgulato ha'ikarit shel Rosh Chodesh, the real treasure of what Rosh Chodesh is about, is b'koach ha'hischadshus shebo. It is the power of renewal. Lo b'mikra shmo b'lashon ha'kodesh karei chodesh. It's not just by chance, and this is what I meant by the fact that it's embedded in its name. It's not by chance that we call it Rosh Chodesh. We call it Rosh Chodesh al shem besuras ha'hischadshus hamekupelet b'knafav, because what's wrapped into it is the power of hischadshus. Rosh Chodesh, the head of the month, the head of the chodesh, is a time for chidush. It's a time for something that's chadash, new and renewing. The very name represents its message, because that is so much of what Rosh Chodesh is about. And the truth is that even halachically, we know this to be true. We're actually experiencing this halacha right now, in the 30 days from the time that we say Mashiv HaRuach u'Morid HaGashem, that we start on Shmini Atzeres. For 30 days, the halacha is that if I'm not sure if I said Mashiv HaRuach u'Morid HaGashem before I complete the bracha, I go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. If I know for sure I said it, I'm good. If I know for sure I did not say it, I have to repeat Shmona Esrei. And that in-between category on what if I'm not sure if I said it, and the answer is, if you're not sure in the first 30 days, we assume you probably did not. Why? Because Chazal understood that human nature is such that it takes about 30 days for something to become part of our routine. And so in less than 30 days, there's a good chance I haven't assimilated it yet. But after 30 days, it has become static. And if you look at the second half of that pa'amim o'ed that we were just learning, ka'amur, mahalach hayamim alul latet makom lechata'im shonim. The passing of time allows space for different chata'im to emerge. And so that, in order so that those sins, those wrongdoing, those negative habits do not win victory, meaning do not become part of us. We don't want the negative habits to become part of us. Kavalanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu moed shebo nitan lihitna'er ulihitkapu mipigei hazman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu established for us the time every month to start again, to shake off what might have become stuck and begin a better future. Every month, the opportunity, the charge to think about what I'm doing. To think about why I'm doing, to not become settled into routine or a thinking pattern that I don't really want. Every month to act like Chushim ben Dan and say, what am I looking at? And how can I rejuvenate? There are things in my life that require action, there are things in my life that require reaction. And to provide myself with an opportunity to start again. And if we go back up to source number two, that's why Rosh Chodesh is associated with being a time for kapara. Customarily, the day before Rosh Chodesh is called a Yom Kippur Katan. It is a day for tshuva. Some people have the minhag to fast half a day. If you go to, and they say, and there are special slichos that they say in the afternoon. If you were to go to Rosh Chodesh to the Kosel, if you were Zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael on an Erev Rosh Chodesh, you would see the Kosel is packed on Erev Rosh Chodesh. A Yom Kippur Katan is an opportunity for tefillah, for tshuva. It is also why Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, which I believe is going to be explored in a later class, you find the Lashon of it being a Zman Kapara. It is a time that is connected with an opportunity for atonement, says the Pa'amim Mo'ed. I'm sorry, not source number two, but source number three. Kevan sheyom Rosh Chodesh mushtat al yisod ha'hischadshus. Since Rosh Chodesh is really based on the foundational concept of hischadshus, mimela klula bo gam skulas kaparas avonos. It must be that included in it is a time and an ability to atone for sins, meaning, says the Pa'amim Mo'ed, the two things, the two concepts naturally fit together. If it's a time for hischadshus and for renewing myself and re-energizing myself, then it makes sense that it's also a time for kapara. Because mikoach ha'hischadshus from the power of renewal, yachol v'tzarich adam limtoach kav al nekudos bilti ratzuya shebe'avuro, v'leftoach daf chadash tahor mikol rabba. It is a time from that power of hischadshus. A person has the opportunity to turn a new page, a page that does not have any stains on it. Lefichach yom hachodesh hu zman kapara lechol todos adman. It is a time of atonement because it is an opportunity for a new start. And that's what it's about. It's a new start. It's a new energy. It's a new beginning. And you see that in the cycle of the moon itself. The moon itself, which is the moon, is the icon around which this mitzvah is based. The entire mitzvah is really all about blessing, sanctifying, and celebrating the new moon. That's what it is. The new month is the new moon. And the icon of Rosh Chodesh and the way that the moon works symbolizes exactly this. Look at the Or Gedaliahu in source number 6. Says the Or Gedaliahu of Gedaliah Shor, Lachein af shechidush halavana hu inyan tivi, even though it's true that the moon is a natural thing. It's a thing. The moon stands high in the sky. But hu mora hu al korach haeschadus, it's teaching us something. Look at the Bria as an opportunity to learn the messages of Hashem. The moon is teaching us about the Koach HaHischadshus. It's inspiring us. Ki im le'ein ha'adam nira sha'az mischadeshes halavana. To the eye of man, it seems that right now, at the beginning of the month, the moon is renewing itself. V'yesh levush ba'olam ha'gashmi shel hischadshus. It is basically a material reminder of this concept of renewal. Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, bizman shalavanim mischadeshes, on Rosh Chodesh, at the time that the moon is rejuvenating and renewing itself, it has gone through an entire cycle and it is about to start again. Yachol ha'adam lechadish es atzmo. A person has the ability to renew himself. Look at that moon when it is almost nothing in the sky. And take a lesson. We too have the ability when we feel like we are so small to start again, to regrow. Ulakabel siyua mikoach haeschadshus hayori b'Rosh Chodesh, and to gain help from the power of renewal that comes on Rosh Chodesh. Yes, it's true that every month has a koach to tap into. That's true. But it is also true that the day itself of the first of every month contains within it a power of renewal that we have the ability to tap into. The koach ha'eschadshus hazeh nimsar li'Yisrael be'esh sheyatzu b'Mitzrayim. And that koach, that power, that energy was given to Klal Yisrael at the moment upon which they were about to leave Mitzrayim. Shenitan lehem ha'parsha kol ha'chodesh hazeh lachem. Koach hachidush masur biyad bnei Yisrael. This is the very first message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give Klal Yisrael. You know what your mitzvah is? Your mitzvah is to tap into your ability to rejuvenate yourself. Remember that you always have the ability to start a fresh page. Don't lose your ability to regrow, to renew. Don't forget that keeping yourself fresh is not just about a new blouse and a new chicken recipe. Keeping yourself fresh is about keeping your avodas Hashem fresh. We want that in all our relationships. We don't want them to become stale and old and taken for granted. And we don't want that in our relationship with Hashem either. We want fresh. We want passionate Yiddishkeit. And the message of Rosh Chodesh teaches us that. And here's why that's so important. The Sichos Musar again in source number 7, and I'm starting right after the comma on the first line. Ki ha-hergel hu shemeimis kol rigshei kodesh al his oris v'hischadshus. Listen to the powerful words of the Sichos Musar. They are strong and they are true. And we know that they are. Ha-hergel, when we get used to things, routine, stale, meimis kills the holy feelings of his oros and his chadshos. When we get stuck in a routine without energy, without passion, without excitement, it kills that feeling of newness. Habaim l'shanos as haderech והנפתלת לאור החיים חדש ומזוכח, ואין האדם צריך אלא להסעוררוס פתע שתוציאו מן ההגרל. And sometimes we need a sudden burst of something to pull us out of that routine. And that will sometimes come in all different forms. That will sometimes come in an idea that we hear, in a conversation that we have, in an experience that we encounter, in something HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us into our lives, something that's going on in Klal Yisrael and something that's going on in my life, something that rocks us out of routine, where we start suddenly to reevaluate everything that we're doing and everything that we're thinking and everything that we are. But really, Rosh Chodesh is supposed to be that opportunity as well. It is a once a month pause that says, I have the opportunity to start fresh. Because he who made us knows us best. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that human nature is that when we do the same thing, we get stuck in routine. We see this with tefillah all the time. Sometimes we'll hear a shir, let's say on a parak of Tehillim, or on an idea in tefillah, and we start to think about it. And it's energizing. And we're excited about that parak of Tehillim, or we're excited about saying that new part of tefillah. And then we have the same thought a day after day after day after day, and all of a sudden it's not so exciting anymore. And we do this all the time. And we have it with all parts of our lives. We have something that we hear about Shabbos and we're so excited to share it. And then it fades. And his chadshus is not something that just happens to us. It's something we need to do for ourselves. To re-energize, to make sure that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always one with passion. Because we don't want to be stale in our Yiddishkeit any more than we want to be stale in any of our relationships. We want schachs. We want fresh and exciting. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the routine of our calendar, because one Rosh Hashanah a year is not enough. And I think we know that, because we're a week and a half after Yom Tov when we're already like, people ask us, how was Sukkot? Sukkot? Where was I? Because it's so easy to jump back in routine and forget where we're going. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said once a month, energy, energy, energy. And in fact, the power of Hischadrus is so valuable and so important and critical for us that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually creates circumstances that produce that energy. Says, I have the Sefer that I picked up in Eretz Yisrael a couple of years ago. It's based on a pretty well-known mimer that a number of Sfarim talk about. Sichas Musar talks about it, and Ali Shur talks about it, and a number of other, there are older sources also. And the Sefer is called Yemei Ahava V'Yemei Sina. So I'm quoting for you from reading with you in source number 8. Tzarich ledat, you need to know. Shalefa'amim mashlichem as ha'adam me'avodas Hashem in Hashamayim. That sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws a person from his avodas Hashem, and that comes min Hashamayim. What does that mean? Hino Hashem Yisparach Misaviv LaAdam SheYovar Es HaHergish VaHachayus BaYahados. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges that a person loses a certain feeling and a certain chios, a certain energy, a certain life feeling in his Yiddishkeit. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? B'kedei SheYitorer MeChadash V'yitchazik b'chius u'b'hisoris chadosha li'yaras Hashem lukiyam haTorah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to renew himself. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes almost deliberately arrange that a person goes through what the Sfarim call Yimei Avon, Yimei Sina? Sometimes I'm feeling strong and I love Yiddishkeit and I love Hashem and I'm going to be excited forever. And sometimes he experiences Yimei Sina, where he feels distant and he's having a hard time. And my tefillah feels empty. And why do we sometimes experience that? Because it is from those yemei sinah that we start to look for ways and opportunities to rejuvenate, to re-energize, and that too is important. And knowing that gives us perspective on challenging times, both personal and national. First of all, because we know that it's normal, because we know that is part of the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam designed it, that there would be times of Yemei Ava and Yemei Sina, and that's normal. And this is sort of parenthetical, but I always feel like I just need to say this when I talk about this topic. And who says that when I'm feeling excited or when I'm feeling like I'm loving to daven, who says that that tefillah is even necessarily more powerful than the tefillah that I put forth when I'm quote unquote not in the mood? We don't have that measure. That chiyus, that energy, is a gift for us, but we are not in a position to be measuring which one is worth more. But it is the natural way of things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has made every one of us in a way like the cycle of the moon, where we have times where we feel stronger and times where we feel lower. But it is from those low, difficult times that we force ourselves out and we create a new freshness. If you could read with me in the Nesivos Shalom in source number 9. Val Cain, and therefore, Siva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Al Inyan Kiddush HaKodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Klal Yisrael regarding the subject of sanctifying the new moon. Again, B'mitzvah Rishona Shabbat, the very first mitzvah in the Torah, Kodem Korban Pesach, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu even gave us the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, we were in Mitzrayim. He told us about sanctifying the new moon. Why? Kedei al inyan zeh shehu yesod amuna. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Klal Yisrael, it's not just enough to know that this is a time of Hizchadshos. It is. But there's something else here. There is a fundamental point about amuna that is embedded in this. Sheyisrael monin lelavana, that Klal Yisrael counts according to the moon. The Gamba is Shai HaChashchus. And even in the height of darkness, Ma'aminim She'ein Zeh Stam Choshech Be'alma. We know, we trust that Hashem, there is no such thing as Stam darkness. Ela Zeh Be'Hashkacha Pratis Me'Hashem Yisparach. This darkness, this difficulty that we as an individual, as Klal Yisrael, are experiencing is from Hashem. And our job is not to change, not to give up from what we are doing. Meaning that we are not stopping from who we are intending to be. We know that every situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us into, Zmanei Or and Zmanei Choshech, times of light and times of darkness, are all part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated it, because there are different things that he pulls from us at different times. We, Klal Yisrael, are symbolized by the cycle of the moon. And as much as there are times of dark and times of light, there is one constant. And that constant is that we always come back again. We do not give up. Yes, there are challenging times, sometimes in circumstance, and sometimes in spiritual growth, but it helps us to remember that it's from Hashem. And our job is to think about what we're going to do with it. To learn the lesson of the moon, not to get stuck in the dark. It's time to renew. And that has been the story of Klal Yisrael for generations. And that is the story of Klal Yisrael right now. We don't get stuck. We move forward. If you could read with me the Kriyei Moed in source number 10. Kriyei Moed starts off by saying, "B'mitzvah zu shel hachodesh hazeh lachem," with this mitzvah of hachodesh hazeh lachem, "nemar klal gadol behilchos kviyas haluach ha'ivri." We find a general principle in the establishment of the Jewish calendar. Sha'am Yisrael mona lilavana, he says similarly to the Nisivos Shalom, which is a popular idea, which is really popularized first by Chazal, that Klal Yisrael count according to the moon, b'nigud le'umos ha'olam hamunim l'chama, as opposed to the nations of the world who count according to the sun. Yesh b'kach yotzer meremez. There is more to this than just a hint. Hachama tamid nir'et b'matzav stati. The sun regularly appears in a sort of a static position, lelo aliyot or mordot, without rises and falls, kol shehin, b'nigad l'levana hamishtana tadir, as opposed to the moon, which is constantly changing. Every day you look at the moon and it's a little bigger or a little smaller. And Rav Reis and the Kriyei Moed goes on to explain that the difference between the sun and the moon represent a fundamental difference between Klal Yisrael and the Ummos HaOlam and the nations of the world. Because the nations of the world appear to be large and big and great. But when they fail, they fall and they disappear. He actually gives the example of Haman HaRasha, who Haman was on top of the world, and then the next thing he knew, he fell to the ground. And that is really, if you skip to the end of that paragraph, where it says on the second to last, on the third to last line, right after the comma, Gam im him mitma'atim chalila, we're talking about Klal Yisrael, that even if they, God forbid, minimize, ein ze sof pasuk, that's not the end of the story. V'tamid achar hayerida ba'a aliyasam hamechudeshet. And it is always true with Klal Yisrael that after the fall comes a renewed rising. B'diyuk kamo hayareach, just like the moon. Shelachar shehu mitkatan ukimat shene'elam, that after it gets small again and it has almost completely disappeared, ushav umitgadel umofia bimlo zoharo. It shines its light again. Zehu kocho shel Yisrael. That is the power of Klal Yisrael. That yes, there are times where we are really having a hard time and not in a good place. But then we rise again. But then we rise again. We pick ourselves up and we find the energy to renew and we find the energy to grow. And that has been our story for generations and generations. It is the story of how Klal Yisrael has replanted itself, country after country after country, built a new community, built new shuls, new mikvaos, new yeshivos. It is true in our most recent history, in a post-Holocaust generation that has, with unbelievable Yad Hashem, brought us to where we are today, almost inexplicably. And it is true in the power and the energy that we're trying to create now. And I'll point you again to the Nesiva Shalom in source number 11. The Nesiva Shalom again is talking about the idea that Klal Yisrael are counting according to the moon. And he says, V'yesh lomar de'inyan Yisrael monin le'levana hu she'halevana yesh zmanim shehi b'shay hachoshech, that a moon has times where it's in the peak, the height of darkness. Ve'ein ro'in ba shum nitzot shel or, you don't see one spark of light. You could hardly find the moon in the sky. אך גם בשי החשכוס יודעים שהיא תתחיל שוב להאיר כבראשונה ותחזור למלואה. But we know that it will grow again. You will see it as a full moon again. Kach heim chaye Am Yisrael. That is the life of Am Yisrael that renews itself, that grows again, that rebuilds again. In the height of darkness, we know that we will grow again. Our light will shine again. And that is also what helps us to remember another message of the moon. Second paragraph. Aval Yisrael monin lelevana hasholetet bayom ubalaila. Klal Yisrael count according to the moon, which rules by night and by day. Heim ovdim es Hashem Yisparach b'chol ha'matzavim shel chashchus u'metzuka ve'hakol shova etzlam. Klal Yisrael serves Hashem when I'm feeling it and when I'm not feeling it. When Klal Yisrael is on top of the world and when Klal Yisrael is being trampled by the United Nations and everybody else. I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what. High, low, good, not feeling well, not feeling well. I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with whatever I have, wherever I am. Because the question that Klal Yisrael lives with is, how can I be an Eved Hashem? How can I reflect Hashem's light in the world? And there are times where we can do that with a lot of light, and there are times where it feels very dark. But we are represented by the moon. It doesn't matter if it's night or day. It doesn't matter if it's easy or hard. We are stubbornly connected and committed to representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this earth. That's what we do, and that's who we are. And that is part of why that moon, which is the icon of Rosh Chodesh, is the centerpiece of the very first mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael. You, the months, belong to you. No matter what is going on, you find within you the power of hischadshus, the ability to renew, the ability to find that passion and find that energy. And where do we get that koach from? We get that koach from the knowledge, and if you look all the way down now, we're still in that Nesivos Shalom. We are just going to count lines for 1 second. Sorry. From where I was reading before, Aval Yisrael Moon, in one line down, in the middle of that line, Vizohi Mitzvah Rishona Shenitztavu by Yisrael, and that is the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael were commanded in. Shemivchina Musuyemet Harezu HaMitzvah HaGadola Biyotir. This is one of the most important mitzvos. She'afilu b'machshachim ka'asher lo nireh shum nitzut shel or. When there is not a spark of light, gam az ma'aminim Yisrael be'amuna shalema. This is what Klal Yisrael believe in, and this is where we get our energy from, this line. Be'avasa sham yisparach le'amo Yisrael. That I know that whether the world thinks Klal Yisrael is great or the world thinks Klal Yisrael is crazy, whether I'm feeling strong or I'm feeling like I'm not bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu much nachas right now, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love of Klal Yisrael. Shakol hanhagaso imahem hi rak letova migodel havaso yisparach aleihem. That everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does comes from Hashem's love of us. And that is part of why Rosh Chodesh is exactly when it is. U'mashma'ut yisera be'inyan Yisrael monin lelevana. And that's another understanding of why Klal Yisrael counts by the moon. And I'm just going to say this part outside. Because one of the greatest powers of Klal Yisrael is that we are the Am HaNivchar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us in all circumstances that we could possibly be found in. Strong or weak, dark, or light. And you see that is symbolized by the fact that the very first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael was given to us when we were still in Mitzrayim. And when we were still in Mitzrayim and slaves to Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, these people are mine, B'nei B'chori Yisrael. No matter where we are or how low, we are Hashem's people. And we represent that in the world. I don't care what the world has to say about us. It's time for Chushim ben Dan to cut off the head and say, I don't care what they have to say. We are here to represent Kavod Shamayim. That's who we are. That's what we're about. And that's the message we are supposed to be tapping into every Rosh Chodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us no matter where we are. We always have the potential to be more. We always have the power to re-energize from no matter where we're holding. So I see that we're short on time, so I'm going to jump to the end of the source sheet. I'm going to share just one idea outside, and then I'll share one closing thought. We're told by Chazal that it is, quote, a disgrace for one to say Hallel every day. And the reason we're given for that is because Hallel is something that describes in great eloquence and great elaboration the miracles of Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, etc. And Chazal tell us that if we were going to be saying Hallel every day would become so routine that we would basically lose it. But Chazal also tell us that we're supposed to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because, says the Sefer Pamim Oeid, because the Niflaus and the Nisim of Hashem really surround us all the time. The problem is that they surround us all the time and we get used to them. So much so that we hardly see the Yad Hashem anymore. But Rosh Chodesh is an opportunity to see what we don't always see, to tap into what we don't always tap into, to re-energize. Says the Kriyei Moed in the last source, and I'll just read this last source together. That b'hiyoso bebetzen imo, when a person was in his mother's stomach, in his mother's womb, gamelamdimosoes kol haTorah. We know that the Chazal tell us that the Malach comes and teaches an infant, a child, all of Torah. Amayan he knows everything. He's full of strength. Ulam mashu magia ze. But when a person comes into this world, olam hachomer, a material world. That there's all these distractions and all these things trying to persuade him and sway him. That he comes to a point where he's pulled in so many directions, he's distracted so much that his heart isn't even feeling anymore. A person's journey in this world is one in which we want to be drawn to spirituality and not be distracted by the things that pull us. I said in a shiur recently, I feel like, you know, ever have this, it, just to give a mashal, like you're driving through a storm and your windshield keeps fogging up. And the only way to deal with it is to keep fogging up, and the rain is coming down so hard you can't even see in front of you. So you have your windshield wipers on full force, and it's going so quickly. You ever had this experience? Like you keep pushing it, like, does it go any faster? Like, I can't get it to go any faster because I can only see for that split second that it clears the windshield. But as soon as it stops, I can't see again. And somehow it feels sometimes like we're driving through a world where we are in such a crazy storm that we can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. Things that should be so obvious to us, we sometimes can't see. And we do this all the time. Like, I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one taking missiles out of the sky, but I'm praising the Israelis. And I know that Hashem is the Baal Milchamos, but I read the news as if me, I'm going to change something because I know what's happening. And I know Lev Melech V'yad Hashem and the Ribbono Shel is going to determine the election that's happening in a couple of days. How much am I davening, though, and how much am I watching the news? Because we need constant windshield wipers to remind ourselves of what we know to be true. And part of the function of Ruach Kodesh is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I know I put you into a world where it's hard to see clearly and your windshield fogs up and sometimes it's storming like crazy and you need opportunities to refresh so you can see what you know to be true in front of you. So you don't get distracted by the obsession of Gashmias, and you recenter yourself and find your real passion for where your neshama wants to be drawn to. And that's part of what Rosh Chodesh is for. Rejuvenation, renewal, to find energy in what's real, to remind myself what's important. To recenter on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I give us all a bracha that we should have the ability on Rosh Chodesh and drawing from Rosh Chodesh all month long to tap in to the part of ourselves that's here to bring Kvod Shamayim to the world. And collectively, we as Klal Yisrael should reflect. As we are symbolized by the moon, reflecting the light of the sun, to reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light in this world, and to bring the world to a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is visible all the time. Thank you. Next good Chodesh.
Thank you so much, Shifra. What a wonderful way to begin this series. And thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Shifra. That was
Yes.
beautiful. Thank you.
Shifra, that was
Thank
wonderful.
you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Yeah.
So
Thank you.
inspiring.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Very inspiring.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. It was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night, everybody.
Thanks
And
so
we hope to
much.
see you this week as
Amazing.
our fall semester begins.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night. I get home.